go ahead.
Good afternoon, I'm Chairman Brad Holton, present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 1:30 agenda item and it's meeting with the Board of Health Trustees. And so we're welcoming you to the meeting and you got some updated numbers and some considerations that we would like to put on the record. And we're gonna use this information in determining this year's benefits and overall budget for the county, so. Marty, are you doing the presentation or?
I am, good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioners. The board has asked me to step in front to speak on their behalf.
Okay.
But they're all here, most of them are here to answer any questions you might have.
Okay.
Towards them. So in front of you is a packet of benefit options for 2026. And our benefit year is always on the calendar year, which is different from our fiscal year. So I wanna make sure we're pointing that out. This is for benefits for 1/1 through 12/31 of 2026.
It's an important point that should not be lost on the public record. Thank you.
So on the very first page, this is for medical coverage. The column, the very first column you'll see is our projected 2026 spend. This presentation was prepared by our broker Gallagher. So this is a projected spend for 2026. I'm just gonna hit some of the high points here. This is based on our current plan of which we've had in place since 2017. So if we stay with this exact same plan on the exact same premiums that we are charging our employees today, the current projected spend for 2026 is $14,830,000. Just from my experience in human resources and benefit administration, one plan is a very difficult plan. Usually one plan fits none, not one plan fits all. Also, this plan for the county has not been looked at or changed since 2017, or maybe even farther back. I'm not sure of how long this specific plan has been in place for the county, but in working with Gallagher, we have come up with two different plans, and we can allow our employees to choose from these plans as we move into calendar year 2026. So those are on the right side of the page. And they consist of two plans. One is a PPO plan, which is a plan that most people are very familiar with. It's just like the insurance we have today. You go to the doctor, you have a copay, you pay everything until you reach your deductible. The difference in this plan to help with the continuous rise of health insurance costs is we're going to reduce the deductible of our plan to $1,500 down from our current plan of $2,000. But we are going to increase the maximum medical out-of-pocket expense from that $2,000 to $3,500. When I'm talking to you, I'm talking about employee only. The other numbers you see on the page is for if they're covering additional, like children, spouse, or family. So in doing that, we are also adding a premium that the employee only would need to pay. So if I back up a little bit and we talk about our health trust, we know that our health trust account is dwindling quickly. The burn on our claim rate has been incredibly high for the last 2 years. So we have burned through the balance of which we've had on that. We even came to you in February and you did a cash infusion to our account so we could make it solid for the whole year. So, and currently right now you are paying the county is paying $970 for medical for an active, every employee per month. What we are asking coming forward is for the county to increase their contribution to $1,287 per month per active employee. That's what we're coming for asking for today. And that the part of the reason for that is because of the rising cost of healthcare that we have continuously had. I do want to point out that we haven't had a change in employer or employee contributions since 2017. And so when we come to you today, we're trying to take baby steps to get this health trust back on track, to make it healthy again, to get it going in the direction we need for it to go. So by requesting to break the plan up and offer two medical plans, we believe that this will help do this. So back to the first plan that we were talking about on the PPO plan. Those are the changes. But with this change does come an added premium for the employee. Currently today, if you are an employee only, you don't pay anything for your medical coverage. With the choice of this plan, you will pay $94 a month towards your own medical coverage. The other tiers of elections, whether it be employee and spouse, children, or family, those will also increase by an additional $100 each month. That is for Plan Choice PPO. We are also recommending to offer another plan, a high deductible health plan. So the employees will have two choices. They can choose this PPO plan, or they can move to the high deductible health plan. The high deductible health plan is attached to a health savings account, which is mandated by the IRS. If you elect the high deductible health plan, we will open a health savings account on your behalf. But health savings accounts are highly regulated also by the IRS. The deductible for an individual will be $3,400, which is the least amount allowed to make it an eligible high deductible health plan. What a high deductible health plan means, if elected, means that you will pay, you do not have a copay when you go to the doctor. You pay everything at 100% until you reach that $3,400 deductible. And once you reach that, the insurance kicks in for a co-insurance at, the insurance pays 80, you continue to pay 20% until you reach your maximum medical out-of-pocket expense at $5,000. Once you reach your maximum medical out-of-pocket expense, that's when the insurance pays at 100%. What I think is important to note, if we back up just a little bit, is the current medical plan, our deductible and our maximum medical out-of-pocket expense is the same. So if you reach your deductible at $2,000, you've also reached your maximum medical out-of-pocket expense. That change, the change to having to pay 80-20 once you reach your deductible, is consistent in both of the new plans we are recommending offering. So in the PPO plan, you will reach your deductible at $1,500. You will split the coinsurance. Coinsurance will pay 80%. You will pay 20% until you reach your maximum medical out-of-pocket expense of $3,500. Once you reach your maximum medical out-of-pocket expense, the insurance pays at 100%. Also, what is important to note about these two plans is that effective 12/31/2025, the HRA, our health reimbursement accounts that are currently, will no longer be available. There will be a 30-day runout period. The reason for this is because the IRS will not allow us to have an HRA account and an HSA account at the same time. So any claims incurred on the current plan through December 31st, employees will have 30 days and physicians will have 30 days to submit that claim, and the HRA will still pay through January 31st of 2026. But after January 31st of 2026, any funds remaining in any health reimbursement account will revert back to the county and the trust.
Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you for bringing that up, Marty. I think some people, it's possible that there's people that don't know that there's a benefit every year that is gifted to employees out of this trust account. And so I think it's important with a major change like this that I'm going to say that back, that $800 that's been available to pay some claims is coming to an end. That's not going to be a benefit. There are people that occasionally don't understand when we make a change in coverage. So I want to make it really clear that this money belongs to the county for the ability of paying their medical expenses, and that portion of it, that change from a health reimbursement account, is no longer going to be a benefit for Canyon County employees. They're changing to a health savings account. The money in a health savings account, the benefit to that is that it becomes a permanent part of their portfolio, basically. And help me if I don't get this on the record correctly, but if even if they leave Canyon County, whatever they've invested in that to help pay for their medical expenses is going with them because it's their own money that they've invested. So I'm going to stop and let you.
That is accurate. But as a reminder, you will only get the health savings account if you elect the high deductible health plan.
Right, right.
The health savings account does not accompany the PPO plan.
Mm-hmm.
But we will still offer the flexible spending account for people to put away money pre-tax on the flexible spending account that you can apply towards your medical expenses if you elect the PPO.
And then there's $150 that's given if you elect the high deductible annually, right?
I was just going to get into that.
Okay, thanks.
So the high deductible health plan, because we are asking our people to pay more upfront, right? They're going to go to the doctor outside of preventative care. Anytime they go to the doctor, they're going to pay the agreed upon insurance rate, whether it's $50 or $150, they're going to pay that until they reach their deductible. So because we're asking them to do that, and it alleviates some of the burden on the county because we are increasing their deductible, we are able to contribute to their health savings account. If you are an employee only, the county can contribute $75 per month to your health savings account. If you elect any other tier, children, spouse, family, the county can contribute $150 to your health savings account monthly. However, this is a county match. You, the employee, must contribute the exact same amount or more to be able to get the county match of those two amounts, either $75 for an individual or $150 for any other tier elected.
Thank you. And Chairman, can I put another something out there? In looking at these, I know you've said it a number of times, but you're only giving the numbers for an employee without family or children. If you want to look at adding your family, then you have to look at the number to the right because it does increase with that. So when people are looking at what's best for their family, if that's what they want to do, they have to look at what their out-of-pockets and their maximum deductible amount is for that. That's a significant difference in evaluating the PPO versus the HSA.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you.
And from an HR perspective, we'll definitely communicate out, if this is approved to move forward, we'll definitely communicate out. We'll start our communication early on the changes that will be happening for the benefits plan to make sure that we are having multiple benefit fairs to talk about these changes, to talk with people, to walk them through the changes, help them understand, and help them be able to dig a little bit deeper into their own health care so they know what plan would be correct for them.
Chairman?
Yes.
I want to say it back to on the HSA part, on that, you would have to pay. There's no portion of that that's underwritten, and I'm saying it again, there's no copay. So whatever is charged for that service is what you're going to pay. It could be the difference between whatever's here. If we go back up on the copay, I think it's $25, but then you would just bear the whole cost. It could be a couple hundred bucks.
It could be, correct. But what is important to note, though, is the high deductible health plan still has to abide by the Affordable Care Act. So if it is preventative, if it is your school physical, your annual exam, for women, it's their women exam, including mammograms and pap smears, as well as men, it's their prostate check, all of those things that you would get checked annually, that's preventative care. That is $0. If you're on the high deductible health plan and you are going in for preventative care and you normally would pay your $25 copay on the existing plan, high deductible health plan is nothing. There's no copay and there's no charge for preventative care.
Thanks for putting that on the record.
Also, on the high deductible health plan, if elected by the employee moving into 2026, there will be no change to the current premium. So as an employee only, you can still get this plan for $0 per month. And if any other tier that you elected in 2025, it's the exact same premium moving into 2026 on the high deductible health plan.
Repeat that again.
On the second option, the high deductible health plan, the premiums in place today for 2025 will carry over to 2026. Employee only will pay nothing. They do not have a per month premium if they elect the high deductible health plan. And any other tier is the exact same premium that they're paying today will move into calendar year 2026.
So I'm trying to absorb that. So what good is that sheet there then?
So when I built the sheet, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
How are you guys today?
Good.
So when we put that together following our meeting last week, where Director Danner presented these options to the Health Trust Board, I wanted to see how the numbers fleshed out and how they affected individual revenues and how the overall impact was going to be on the employees with the increase to employee contributions and revenues generated by the increase in county contributions and new premium revenue. What you have in front of you is based on all PPO. So if every one of our employees elected to be in the PPO, that's the financial impact. Where that varies, we won't know until enrollment how many people elect the high deductible versus that, and those numbers could change drastically with potential revenue. We'll still maintain some premium revenue. It won't be at the increased rate. In essence, I don't know how to split that number and go, okay, well, I'm going to do 100 high deductible and the rest on PPO. I can make it, I guess, but I don't know. I don't know what we won't know what the impact's going to be completely on our plan if a lot of people elect to drop from our healthcare and move on to a spouse's. I don't know. We don't know until enrollment happens and we get those new enrollment numbers based on some decisions that people are going to have to make with the new premium rates, or potential premium rates. So I just wanted you to have at least a picture of what revenue could be generated based on these. And we've had these discussions the last four or five times I've been in front of you about this, is that increasing employee premiums does generate more revenue. There's a big gap that has to be closed between the cost of our health plan and the revenue we generate from county contributions as well as employees. And we were hoping to, the $3 million was intended to stave off inevitability, which was the trust going broke. And it's done so up until this point. So now here we are going, okay, what's our long-term financial plan now? And that comes on the backs of increased contributions. There's only one way to solve the problem. And two, the long-term play is what the hard work Director Danner has done in diving into trying to find us competitive healthcare that matches market, that comes in affordably in some instances, still provides great coverage for our people. And you're not cutting services to the healthcare people have. You're just passing the onus off of the trust itself and putting some of that back on the user, which is not an easy decision to have to make in any of our positions. But healthcare being what it is, it's gotten unaffordable. And we're not the only jurisdiction or only governing body in this position of having to decide how to best provide this benefit to employees.
Chairman. So I want to say it back and looking at this table, employee only is going to increase, if you go with a PPO,
$94. $94 from
yep.
94, correct.
Correct. And then the increase in premium for a family is $103 on a PPO.
Yeah, $103 over.
Mm-hmm. I've lost my train of thought.
I am totally muddled, and I'll tell you why. On the bottom of this chart, county participation over here, if we stayed with that plan, I get it. But going over to here, you're saying that we are not, the county's not going to contribute 1287, you're going to contribute 1225?
We're asking for 1287, but 1225 is for medical The balance of that $62 is for dental. We're also self-funded in dental.
Okay.
So we're asking for a total employee contribution, employer contribution of $1,287, while $1,225 would go towards medical. But it all gets deposited into the same trust.
Okay. Is dental with medical optional, or you're automatically involved with dental if you do, if you enroll with the medical?
No, it's optional. It's separate from your medical.
Okay, but yet another variable, huh, that we won't know. Okay.
But I would say that dental has always been optional. I mean, it has always been separate from medical.
Okay.
That's always been, Chairman.
A separate election.
The cafeteria kind of a, I can choose medical, I can choose dental, I can choose vision, I can choose disabilities, all of that. It's never been tied all as one.
Well, it has been. We're going to get to that.
Okay.
Part of it has been.
Okay.
So if we are okay on medical or any other questions, we can move to the next page.
I have a further question. How do you substantiate the rate differences between a employee and spouse, employee and a child, and employee and children? To me, that, how did you come on that?
Okay, that was that happened before me, but experience tells us that there is a specific amount that the insurance charges us for whatever tier that they have, and we break that down percentage-wise on what portion the county is going to pay and what portion that the employee is going to pay. That is why there is a difference between each one of those tiers. But in the Canyon County's case, how they have historically done it is that they have taken the full amount of what the county needs to pay and they have split it up among those tiers and paid the exact same amount towards the tier no matter what the election. Then we took the difference of that and then they average that percentage out to change for the tiers of whether you are an employee and children, employee and spouse, or employee and family.
Chairman,
I want to dwell on this for a second because you didn't help me understand the impact of a child or two children compared to a family. I assume the family trips at three. I don't know. I'm making assumptions here. I haven't seen this in other plans that it's that tight. A child isn't for free in a medical plan. And so I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm just saying, talk to me. Tell me how you got at that such low arbitrary number.
So,
please.
So, the full value of a premium is set by the insurance company.
Okay.
They say if it's just like going into the private market, right?
Right.
If you're shopping a family plan, they say a family plan, and a family is triggered by spouse. So it can be employee plus children's, and it's all going to be the same rate. It's triggered by a spouse. And what the insurance companies basically say is a spouse is more expensive on insurance than children are. So they have a full premium value. And they say for instance, we'll use the numbers on the sheet. They say for an employee only, it's $1,319 full value. And then they say it had a spouse, it's now $1,565. And then with a child, it's $1,372. With children, it's $1,430. And down the line to family, which is $1,684. And your COBRA rates are all based off those same numbers, plus like 2% they add into COBRA rates.
Do these follow COBRA percentages?
They do follow COBRA percentages. So if you were to go on COBRA with the county, you leave employment and choose to elect COBRA, you're going to pay full premium value plus 2%.
Right.
Is what's added. When Gallagher does these numbers, they're pulling what full premium value is on these and saying, okay, here's your full premium value. And before, we were underfunded in family. You know, we paid $970 from the county, the employee paid $356, but the full premium value was $1,900.
Right.
So every month those elected people in there was that we're self-insured, so it's not like a fully insured plan, which that's the premium you have to pay them every month. It's based on claims. But if you looked at it as a fully insured, which is how we're operating a self-funded plan like a fully insured plan. It's just the only way to do these. or to budget really for them, because there'd be no way to actually account for all that. So full premium value. So if they say kids are cheaper, then the whole premium is cheaper. The whole insurance cost is cheaper, then the cost split between the employee and the county is cheaper. And if you try to maintain that, and I don't know if we're at 90-10 or 85-15 or what that split is right now, I have to do some quick math on it, or 80-20 even. Most people budget, or most government agents budget at 90-10, so 90% to the employer, 10% to the employee. I would venture a guess we're probably like 85-15 with these numbers. So 85% the county pays, or you know, the county pays it to have, and the employee pays the other 15% to get to pull. So the reason why you see such a disparity between an employee spouse that's at $340 and then dropping down to employee child at $147 looks despairing. You're like, why does an employee plus child cheaper than me and my wife? Because the insurance company says so. Realistically, they say no, a spouse is more expensive than a child. So therefore your full premium rate's more expensive to have your spouse on your plan. And then that's where it comes into elections. I mean, dental being broken out, we have people who only elect dental through the county, and they're on their spouse's insurance for health insurance because it's the premium rate's cheaper. I think our total enrollment for dental is like 782 versus our total medical is at 776. So it kind of gives you, I mean, idea of when I'm looking at funding numbers and what we collect for revenue, I get enrollment, not budget. So if people aren't electing medical, there's no revenue from them coming in, but they're not a draw on the account either, right? If they're only electing dental, then that's the only premium we get is what they elect for dental, whether it's Delta or Willamette. Prior to today, Delta's always been free, which is why that number shrank from $83 a month for dental to $62. Right? We were subsidizing some other things using that dental money, which we're trying to get down to as tight as we can be with using taxpayer money and still put some of this on the back of the employees, which is what's been pretty common statement for the last year and a half that we've been talking about these things. Is just making sure that it's affordable still for our employees, yet we're not sacrificing the care people need and trying to find a way to afford healthcare for a population our size.
Chairman?
Yes.
My question was, when is the last time that employee rates for medical, dental, vision increased at the county?
Same as the county.
2017.
So there's been a steady increase in cost without an increase to our employees. I think that's important to note that even though there's going to be some increases, there's been 8 years of no increases.
On either side.
Yeah. Thank you.
And without rehashing all of the things, like I said, we've discussed in the past.
I would take exception to your comment. On either side, there's a $3 million deposit in February. That's a significant contribution.
Yes, sir.
And I think it does not need to be lost in this discussion.
Agree. And sorry, I meant no disrespect by that statement. In essence, my intended meaning was that, and I don't want to speak disparagingly to the people that came before me that sat on this health trust board, but it wasn't looked at as deeply as it has been the last 2.5 years. From the day I joined it and started seeing trend lines trending down, we were sitting at a really healthy fund balance at that time, over $7 million. And I'm watching us take $1 million loss in a year, and I'm like, and nobody's raising flags. You know, and that's when the deep dive started. I wanted to see financially where this was going, which is the first time that brought us in front of you, showing you the trend lines of, yeah, we're doing okay today. But here we are 2 years later in the position that the math said it was going to be in. And if it wasn't for the infusion of that back in February, we would have been in bad shape.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this board has dug in deep with the help of Director Danner, who hit the ground running, Greg, Kyle, all the rest of the people, to try to lessen the impact this was going to have on people. Because it is going to have an impact. And lessen the impact it's going to have overall on the county finances, because that's a big thing as well.
Thank you.
I think the ask in front of you today really is what is the babiest of baby steps to move forward in creating a healthy health trust again. And recognizing budget restraints that the county is facing for fiscal year 2026, this is our ask for today.
Chairman?
Yes.
And Marty or Lieutenant Flores, I don't know if you want to look at the projected funding with the new plan. You started out by talking about if we didn't change anything, which doesn't sound like to me that that's an option, given the burn rate that's in there. So if you jump over to that with the PPO and the HSA, understanding that we don't know what people are going to elect, but there will be some cost savings by moving to a different type of medical plan, just by moving away from what we have.
Correct, there will be. It should be a mix of both of them, so we're not really sure what the total cost savings will be, but I will say it's a total cost savings, unbeknownst of any high claim that we don't know that might happen.
Right.
This is based on just projected claims, based on our claims experience, of which we've had over the past 3 years. Gallagher took the past claims experience for the past 3 years to come up with this projected funding.
Yeah. Chairman?
Yes.
And I really appreciate the work that's been done, Lieutenant Flores. I think you jumped in without a lot of prior understanding, maybe at zero is what the hand, and you've done a great job. You've really dove in, and under the leadership of Director Dannert, thank you. This is an area, it was brought to my attention by a former HR director that this was going to struggle at some level without an increase or a change or a deep dive. We have a board and an HR director with a health trust board now in place that's really evaluating what the impact of this is to the county. I really appreciate that. Thank you. We should be running toward hard problems and not away from them. If I could make a comment, the health savings account, which I am kind of focusing on, but a different way to say that, just like the county is self-funded, this is really a self-funded plan for a family or an individual looking, potentially not anticipating a lot of healthcare costs. That is a way to lower their taxable income and put some kind of a savings away that they can take with them at some point in the future.
It's true. On a health savings account, all of the contributions that are made by the employee are on a pre-tax basis. And although there is an IRS limit, just like there is for the flexible spending account, it's higher. It's in 2025, it was $4,300 for an individual and $8,300 for a family. So you could potentially put away $8,300 on a per pay period pre-tax basis into your health savings account, which again is yours forever. It doesn't go away. You can carry it over from year to year.
And Chairman, can I follow that up? So if you funded that at $8,300, your maximum out-of-pocket is going to be $6,800, so the difference between that, you could roll that over to the next year and continue to build up some kind of a fund balance for yourself in the event of something more significant.
You could.
Yeah.
You could. But it's important to note that a health savings account is funded on a per-pay period basis. It is not preloaded by the county. It is not... As an employee, you can preload your health savings account. If you wanted to make your entire annual contribution on your first paycheck in the year, you can do that. It's allowed. And but other than that, it would be a per pay period pre-tax.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that clarification.
The one also thing important to note about the health savings account is the $75 or $150 per month by the county. It does count towards that IRS limit. So you would have to take whatever your contribution is from the county and subtract it from whatever that IRS limit is for you. And that's what you could contribute if you're looking to max out your health savings account.
Right. And Chairman, can I clarify, the $150 or $75 if it's just you is a month, not annually. Is that what you just said?
It's a month.
Thank you.
Any more questions on the medical?
Okay.
If you flip to the next page, this is our Delta dental coverage. So as Lieutenant Flores stated earlier, as it sits today, Delta dental is no cost to the count, no cost to the employee, no matter what tier that you elect. It is $0. That is not sustainable moving forward. So we are asking for a small increase to the employee on the Delta Dental side, and that is listed on table number 2 on page 2. So it would increase to $5 for an individual, $22.79 for your spouse, $760 for if you have one child, $1,889 if you have two children. I'm sorry, $1,899. Maybe I should put my glasses on. And then $3,799 if you're covering your family for Delta Dental.
How did we come up with those spreads?
They are, if you look under the county contribution, that is the full cost. The total is the full cost of each policy.
Okay.
And so they have divvied it up percentage wise.
Okay.
So if you go to the next page, it's our other option for dental, and it is Willamette. So Willamette is very beloved here in the Treasure Valley, so we want to make sure that we continue to offer it. Willamette is also a very expensive plan. I don't have the historical knowledge. I don't know how the 2025 premiums for employees were determined. This board tells me that someone on the HR team determined these rates and it was decided upon that they would be accepted. Working with Gallagher, we're working along the same philosophy of a percentage for our county to pay and a percentage for the employee to pay. So if you look at the second table on the sheet, in the total column, that is how much it costs for an entire, for this plan for each of these tiers. So it is broken up percentage. And it is 50% by the county will pay and 50% that the employee will pay for Willamette. So this is a pretty big increase for anybody who wants to elect Willamette, but that plan is very expensive.
How do we defend the, they're not apples and orange plans?
I can help with that if that's okay. The Delta Dental is you can pick any dentist in the network. You can go to any Delta dentist, and they have their pricing of which they charge for each dental procedure. Willamette, you have to go to a Willamette facility. I have always equated in my whole HR career here in Idaho, Willamette is very much a discount program. It's not really an insurance, it's a discount program. So you're paying to be a member of the discount program when you elect Willamette. And so they have, they're the same way. They have all of their Willamette pricing up. You can see it when you walk into their offices, but you are required to go to Willamette. You will see any Willamette dentist. You often will not see the same dentist, but it's a program where you can get in pretty quickly. They have lots of different things that they do. And the one thing about Willamette that is different from Delta is Willamette does offer orthodontia for children who need braces. And that is not something that is on the Delta plan. They don't cover orthodontia. And it's just another way to offer something to plans for employees to choose from. Much like we're trying to move to offering two medical plans, we have two dental options for you to choose from.
Okay.
If you move on to the next page, so Commissioner Van Beek, this is what you were alluding to earlier. So historically, vision has been included with your medical. If you elect medical, you have vision. There was no option to elect vision outside of medical. So if you were covered on a different, your spouse's coverage or were using the county's medical, you couldn't get vision either. Really best practice is to have all of these be separate and to let people elect as their needs for their family dictate. So we've pulled vision out of the medical. We are holding it separately as a separate election. You can elect vision. There is a fee to elect vision. It is the exact same plan we have today embedded in the medical. We just pulled it out and made it its separate own plan. There is a premium for vision for an employee, it is $11.54 a month. Spouse, $17.93 a month. For employee and children, it's $18.41 a month. And for a family, it is $29.62 a month for vision. And it will be a separate election on your open enrollment this year. And then on the last page, Gallagher did go out to market for our county paid life insurance and short-term disability and long-term disability. We got multiple other companies coming back at a much lesser rate than we are currently paying Lincoln Financial. When Gallagher approached Lincoln, they agreed to match the rate. So we're going to continue on with Lincoln at a savings of approximately $70,000. And the ancillary benefits that we started to offer last year, including accident, critical illness, those will remain with Lincoln as well and still be offered again in 2026.
Did Gallagher see if Lincoln was competitive on those?
Yes, very much.
Did they change any of their numbers?
No, because accident and critical illness are age-based. So those numbers are not changing. That's the presentation today, and so any questions for me or this board?
Chairman.
Yes.
Marty, when do you and the board need feedback on, you've given us a lot of information, what's our deadline for?
Well, we're gonna stay within the GEM plan for 2026. I would say 2 weeks. We'd like to get the plan design moving forward so we can be able to get it to GEM plan and Blue Cross as soon as possible. It does take them about 90 days to create any plan changes. Plus, we need, as an HR team, we need time to be able to communicate to everyone, to set up open enrollment meetings, and to be able to set up our open enrollment in ADP, because open enrollment will have to happen in ADP, so we'll have to do dual setup. So we need to set it up in ADP, and we also need to set it up in Dayforce. So everything is a time crunch. Everything, I know it feels like everything feels like it's crashing down. So I'm gonna ask for at the maximum 2 weeks before we have a go forward decision on what you would like us to do.
Okay, thank you, and great job. Great job on the presentation.
Yeah. Well, thank you to the board that you've gone where few other boards have gone before since 2017, and the numbers are sobering and frustrating. You don't walk into a grocery store and buy groceries that are the same price in 2017. You don't buy an automobile for price in 2017, and you sure as heck don't buy a house for the price in 2017. And so all of that stuff in the economy affects health, and it affects the cost of that. So this is just one of those frustrating things that we have to try to find a balance. So thanks for wading through the hard numbers.
Mr. Chairman, I'm in favor of just moving forward. I don't need 2 weeks. I mean, we can't afford not to do this.
Yep. And so, and I'll support that. I didn't query the board or put an opinion out there, but I can move forward with what's been presented as well.
Chief, do we have to have a resolution for this, or is it administrative? Do they just give us direction? Like, how does this work?
They have to adopt a resolution.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, on this one, I'd prefer a resolution outlining the plans that you've chosen. If you have any questions about these as an action item to adopt, that way there is a record of change. That's what I would prefer.
HR can prepare the resolution and send it over for scheduling, if that's okay.
Yeah, my meeting clause is going to require the notice to say the action item.
Correct.
Okay, right, perfect.
Yeah, and it had to have, I believe, if I'm looking back at the history of all the ones that have been done in the past, anytime a rate increases on premium side for the employee or the county, it's got to be done spelling out the exact math, what the total dollar figure impact is to both sides of it and everything else. And we can definitely get those numbers and put together that for you.
You put that in a clean resolution and then attach that to your meeting agenda with the notice that you're going to take action on that, that would cover it.
Okay. This will be a little bit different where we have two optional medical plans that we haven't had before.
Correct. I mean, it's important to state that that's the long-term play. We discussed this prior to, you know, what's the short-term solve and what's the long-term play? And just plan redesign has always been a long-term play. And when you see the cost, estimated cost savings, that remains to be seen, but that's a few years down the road, right? As you see the financial impact of what the performance of the plan is and your population of sick people using the plan. The immediate is always funding. And I hate to say that because it's hard to come in front of you and say, hey, you know, 4 months ago, you guys did a big infusion. And now we're back saying that was just step one of becoming somewhat more financially solvent.
Yeah.
But the bills continue to roll. We're still averaging, at this point, $300,000 a week in medical claims and pharmaceutical claims costs. So you can't have months of nearly $1 million in claims coming in with with revenue that's $300,000 short.
Right.
So we tried to be, Director Danner, crunched these numbers with Gallagher because their original ask back in December when they brought to us the numbers saying here's what your recommendations were, was $1,256 for medical and $83 for dental, maintaining that $83 for like $1,340 all in. And she's, again, backed those numbers down to do a little more split costs between the employee and the employer, so it's not such a huge impact overall on county finances. It wasn't easy to swallow looking at these numbers and thinking about it, but it's just what has to be done.
Chairman?
Yes?
I have a question on the prescription portion of that. So a former employee in HR was looking at the prescriptive costs and what the benefit would be of using generic drugs. Is that included with this, that generic options, which would reduce the amount?
Yeah, generic will be $15, which is the same price it is today. We're not changing the benefit of the plan. We're changing the cost of the plan and the deductibles. So as the plan sits today, what you have seen covered, that is all remaining the same. Your co-pays will remain the same. What's changing is your amount of deductible, your amount of co-insurance, and your amount of maximum medical out-of-pocket expense. That is what is changing for the employee.
Okay, and maybe I'll ask you at a different time to make sure I understood his concern at that time. So thank you, Chairman.
We can answer that question. So, being that we're in a group plan with the GEM plan, and pharmacy is covered under all, right? We can't split pharmacy from the BCI claims. GEM plan could shop a pharmacy benefit manager and pull pharmacy straight out of BCI's control, not having one group do all of it. Any options to pursue that on GEM plan side has not been super well received by BCI, and they tend to control a lot of this with they have that many participants in the plan. So we can't separate our pharmacy from our medical until the day comes where we can depart from GEM.
Okay, thanks, Lieutenant.
To actually lower those costs for shop pharmacy claim.
Yeah.
I also think what's important to note is HR every year will definitely work with Gallagher to look at every option available to the county that will help us get incredible coverage for our employees, but also keep costs at the minimum that we can. We'll continue to go through this same process every year to make sure that we're doing the best that we can for our employees and for the county and its taxpayers.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think you just alluded to it. My next question was, what are we going to do so we're not here again?
We're just going to have to keep looking for better options. But you can't look for options outside of a plan year. And our options really are dependent on what our claims experience continues to be. So what we're hoping for is a claims experience year where we don't have multiple large claims. That's good twofold, right? Because it saves us dollars, but that means our people are not as sick and or as unhealthy. So we're hoping for a good claims experience year that will help us move towards shopping this out again to see what other options might happen for calendar year 2027.
Okay.
It's complicated.
Very.
Well, I guess my main concern is now that we have a board that is paying attention to this more, that's done the deep dive, I'm going to assume you're going to keep your eye on it going forward rather than how we got here in the first place, where I won't put what I think was happening, but I just don't want, like, okay, we've done this, and then 3 years from now, it's like, oh crap, we got to do this all over again.
Commissioner Brooks and Board, I think if we make a concerted effort to pay attention to it year over year, we won't find ourselves in a position, as in years past, we've had these conversations with compensation and everything else, where it's something that has to be tended, at least looked into, and say, where are we at? What are our numbers? How are we performing? What's our underfunding? Can we make it a small adjustment, right? So 0.5% or 1% increase in contribution costs just to stave off the inevitability, which is healthcare continues to go up and there seems to be no ceiling to it. And I don't have a crystal ball. I can tell you how it's going to look. You know, I was super nervous last year. We were going to see a $17 million plan year this year. We're halfway through the plan year and we're outperforming this mark last year as far as claims costs and pharmacy costs. So I can't tell you how it's going to close this year. Probably pretty close to where we were last year, about $15.5-16 million. So we just pay attention to that and say, where are our contributions lining? Where's our revenue stream lining? How's the fund performing? And do we need to make an increase this year, or should we put it off for a year? We can stay solvent for another year and then come back hard the following year as revenues pour in and projections look, you know, for county revenues to be able to do that. I don't want to come in front of you again in a year saying, hi, we need more money. So these numbers are good numbers. Did they solve the problem? No, but they closed the gap significantly. So.
Thank you.
We're not going to be in a liquid position that we could do that, what we did in February, this next couple of years. That's the sobering problem. So I think we need an open line of communication where we're at and go from there. Well, so Marty and the board, you have a clear direction that it sounds to me that there's consensus here for you to go ahead and make up the proposal just like you presented it, work with legal and get us a resolution back before the board that delineates all the specifics.
Yes.
We'll take it under advisement till then.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else under this agenda item?
I don't think so, Chairman.
I'd make a motion. Make a lot of things, really. That we adjourn till our next agenda item.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. We adjourned.